Okay, we're recording now. First place that we should start is just your name, your age, and any other identifying or identity information about you.
All right. Well, my name is Van Michael Milhouse. That's my full name. And let's see, I was born January 27th, 1973. So I turned 50 years old this year in 2023 in January. And let's see, I'm originally from Philadelphia. I've been here in Baltimore for 32 years. Let's see, I was assigned female at birth. And that's all I can think of right now. Yeah, I'm 5'4", you know, brown skin, light eyes, and you can call me at no.
Call me after the video.
Where to even start?
Like, what is that even important, though? Like, somebody might be like, oh, you know, why does that matter? And it matters because part of my story is I'm out of Philadelphia. However, I didn't learn about my own personal birth history. I didn't know my birth history. I didn't know or understand my social history growing up. So being able to say I was born January 27th, 1973 is something that we all take for granted. But a lot of us, some of us don't even know our birth date, you know. And for me, I learned through my health care over the past 4 years, the health care of my eyes, I learned about my birth history because the doctor asked me about my mom's birth experience with me, and I couldn't tell him. I asked my mother before transitioning about what it was like having me, and she'd always say, I don't remember. It's not until I got into my marriage that I realized my wife and her mom and all the women around me were talking about, you know, I remember this and I remember that. I'm like, why my mom didn't remember anything? So I that perked my ears up. So I'm going to fast forward. I realized that I was born premature and there appears to maybe be some trauma during her birthing of me. Because my eyes, the nerves in the back of my eyes are twisted in a peculiar way. And the doctor said, it seems like they probably were pulling your head out. The forceps. And I said, wow, he unlocked something in my head. Because I remember the stories in my family about me. My head was like a peanut. Yeah, it was so small. You could fit in the palm of our hand. It was like a peanut. And I didn't think anything of it because I knew I was 2 pounds and 9 ounces. So when he asked me that question and then he talked about what he saw in my eyes and in my, I said, there it is. OK, that's a piece of my birth history that my mother couldn't tell me. I don't have a relationship with her. So simple things like that, your name, your age are things that we take for granted and being able to recite our you know, different things that we know about. Baseline demographics, some of us don't know. And so being 50, I'm finding out a whole lot about me that I didn't know. Like my mom left me at the hospital because she didn't want me because she wanted a boy. Had she only waited, I would have revealed myself, you know. But things like that. And so that explained to me, though, the treatment that I received growing up, not understanding and thinking that this treatment was normal. You know, so I'll get into that a little later, but those, you know, so stating my name, I chose this name. That's important. Most people just rattle it off, you know. And hearing me say my name is important. So that's what I'll say.
What are your earliest memories being in community?
I didn't even know what that word really meant. When I first started hearing that word, I thought it meant neighborhood. So I thought it meant where you were from. Oh, I'm from Logan. I'm from North Philly. You know, I'm from West Philly. I'm from, you know, Tivoli. I'm from West Baltimore. You know, Oakland, wherever, Brooklyn. That's what I thought. It meant neighborhood. But then I realized that that really meant the people that are around you. So it took me a hard, long time to understand that. So the question is, when did I first realize?
Like, who were those people? Who are your people?
Yep, because they're, I'm just realizing who they are. From, and then I have to look at it from my age. I am 50. So I'm looking at my life now in segments. And so in high school, what type of community was I a part of? I was a part of the band. Mm-hmm. So there was a band community. But now that I know what community is, I don't feel like I had community. Because to me, community is something that you can confide in. Mm-hmm. You can call on. You can count on. I didn't have that. So that made me a very focused, serious individual. Nothing's funny. And headstrong meaning determined, but not headstrong meaning I'm not able to see another person's way. And now that gets confused with toxic masculinity. And that's not it at all. That's my life. I had to live it that way. Being socialized as female. So when we talk about community, there's still minimal community. I'm just learning and having it. And I will say, like, this trans community. Because for me, I changed my body at 38 years old. I'd already lived a full life. Socially, the world viewed me as who they viewed me. So the assumptions were already placed on me. So I did not have community. I graduated high school. I came here to Baltimore. I graduated college, started working. Was able to keep working, mental health issues. And here we are. So I'm just learning what community really is. What it means. Mm-hmm. And how it changes. According to my needs. And now I'm 50, and I keep saying it, because my body is 50. But other aspects of my life, my emotional self, is fractured.
He's younger.
Mm-hmm. But yet my maturity, my emotional intelligence is one thing, my emotional maturity is another. And how do you manage that? Because I'm an adult. So I'm managing my 13-year-old self right now in the interview because I got to break something down to my adult self. You know what I'm saying? So that's a lot of rigor remote at 50. Mm. You know, that's a lot of balancing and a lot of stuff. And that's why I keep saying 50, because it's important to know. People talk about, like, I never knew what midlife crisis. I would hear that word, midlife crisis. Like, what is that? It's not necessarily a crisis. You see a lot of things in review. And I was just breaking that down to somebody. I am just unpacking 50 years of this whole experience. And I just started really understanding the experience at 38 years of age, which is 12 years ago. So technically, I'm really like 12 years old. Mm. You know. So I'm 12 years, quote unquote, in physical transition. But I'm also able now to heal in my 12-year-old self, which was invisible. And that 12-year-old self needs space now. And that 12-year-old space person needs a mentor. Mm. But where? You know, so when we talk about community and this trans thing just really popping in the past, what, 12 years? I'm only 12 years in physical transition with the whole life of experience. I have a family, kids, and all that. I got all kind of people that I was helping along the way and didn't realize till now. I'm looking back and people like, hey, thanks. I'm like, what? I didn't know, just walking. And now I'm looking ahead like, what's next? Oh, what happens at 50? And a trans 50, what is that? That's different. I just found out again, more stuff about myself. Being premature, I have a Shikari malformation. Piece of the cerebellum dropped below the cerebellum, like tonsillitis or something. This is a whole bunch of words, right? But the bottom line is this gap between your your spine and your brain is supposed to be a certain amount of space, and mine is condensed, which causes you to have blackouts, can't sleep, mood swings. I've had this all my life, but I just found out that I have it, the symptoms I've had since forever, and I've been complaining and saying these things to various. Now I find out at 50, and people say, what does it matter? Because I have now a brain injury, and I'm going back and forth to the doctors as a trans person. That makes a difference. It does matter now. It's layered here. So at 50, there are a lot of things that I'm realizing. I'm like, God darn, I got a whole life ahead of me. So for me right now, healthcare is looking like I don't even know. Because everything is this youth. I'm still youthful. That's the other thing. And so I'm in a place of, where's my community? Like, shh. We got to worry about youth care. And I'm like, but wait a minute. If you look at mine, there's data in me. There's data in me if you talk to me. But after you talk to me, you got to listen to what I'm saying. I'm giving you multiple pieces of data in my experience. I'm giving you cross data. I'm giving transcendental data. So when I look at my health care, that's where my mind is right now. And where is that community? I'm talking to older guys who've been on T for 30 years. So where the research is walking around you. We go to the doctors. They ain't listening. Yeah, it's diabetes. This is, no, it's not. I'm telling you, for the past 8 years, I've been walking around here thinking I got cancer. I'm documenting because I'm researching myself. Because you ain't listening to me. So I can report to you, this is what's going on with me. I'm not an internet person. I'm getting live data. But being ignored. So at 50 and being trans, man, masculine, whatever terminology we need to use for people to want to pay attention, I'm concerned. That's where my mind is. We are scared. There are a bunch of us walking around with our legs. One brother woke up and his leg broke in his sleep. The doctor said, I ain't never seen nothing like this. What's going on? We got enough folk walking around here that's been on this stuff for over 10 plus years. The heck, I have some more data to tell me what's going on with bones and how this stuff triggers different genetic stuff, since we doing so much genetic stuff with mRNAs, AIDS. You get what I'm saying? So when I talk about community and things of this, I'm happy to have this opportunity because this is futuristic talking. Maybe they'll catch up about 20 years from now because I'll be 70. But I know a 73-year-old trans man right now that's suffering in Texas. He fell in physical therapy. In the diagram, in the x-ray, it shows there's a fracture here. It's floating. No, it's not happening. Come on. How many times y'all going to tell me it's not happening? First you're going to tell me I'm not who I am, and now you're going to tell me that the x-ray telling you that it ain't there and it's there? Come on, people. That's what we're dealing with. I don't know what policies people need to write, but on the ground, we suffering in the doctor's office. That's what erasure looks like. I don't care if I see me on the TV. See me in the doctor's office, baby. And some folk ain't going to have to deal with this because they're coming up. But the puberty blockers are already in place. They're not going to have to deal with certain stuff. But maybe they will. This is why this is important. And this is why community is important, so we can share information amongst one another, because we listen to one another.
What's something that you look back on and feel proud of? We talk about pride in our community, but that feeling of feeling proud of yourself is something that I want you to focus on.
That is a good question, because it is. I'm just realizing that I just started looking at myself in the mirror, not just glancing at it And you hear me? Not glancing at it, but looking at me. And saying, dang, that's y'all shit. That's y'all. You know, all of the fantasies that I used to have, I could see them now. I'm proud of that. That takes guts. That takes to believe in the vision that you know who you are, and that you can manifest it. So I'm proud that I've manifested the thing that I know, that I knew, that I am, that I was. So I'm very proud of that. Because I know a lot of us who are a little older, and I've advised, like, come on, they were like, nope, maybe another lifetime. So I'm proud of going to school, and that's in the binary talk, but in the transcendental way, school was the way out. That was my slave train, getting on out of there. Some people, it's the military. Some people have to run away. But academics was my way to get out of my house and figure some stuff out. I didn't know what I was getting out of and what I was trying to get to. So when I don't have my degrees up, I just brought my degrees up. To me, they're like receipts. Price on that. To me, it's like parole, because I might have to go back and re-up. They call them CEUs. It depends on what, you know what I mean, what lifestyle you live in, on the language we using. So I'm very proud each day that I choose to live. I make a deliberate decision to live. Because now my teenage self gets to do stuff like this. Because I used to sit with the comb and brush too. Talking about, yeah. And now I'm really doing it. And I'm saying something of value that'll hopefully save a life and add to this whole experience. To the next person that's going to be still sitting, hoping and wishing, like, dang, I know I'm, you know what I mean? And the bottom line is to be heard. I'm very proud of me even just saying yes to the interview. Because I'm still learning what my voice sounds like. So I guess for me it's more, you know, humility. Like, wow. So I'm very proud of the trans community that I've been responsible in for building. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. And a couple of my friends were like, man, you had, when you running for your life, they talk about this is life-saving work. Yeah, it's life-saving. I'm saving my life. That's why I'm doing and was doing. It was never about, oh, I'm doing this for whatever. I'm trying to save my life. That's why I had to start opening my mouth. That's why I had to change my body. And that's not for everybody. I believe that this is a highly spiritual thing. No religion. Spiritual. And some people have to take certain paths because that's their ordained way for them before they got here in the physical flesh. I'm a little older, so my belief is I had to sacrifice. So I did a, as they say, ritual. So they call it top surgery. My elbow was just removing my mammalian glands up top where I would have fed my children. Or where I used to feed my children. And once I finish that segment of my incarnation, I can reincarnate. And here I am. And I had to make elbow. That's what this thing is all about. And this medical establishment got it twisted. That's why this is important. That's why this is important. So they talk about pride. They done trumped it up. But this thing is way bigger than that. Like Badu says, hip hop is bigger than your government. It's culture. This is way big. So I've been able to look back. And I'm like, oh my God, there's a bunch of y'all back there. What? They're like, yeah, you. And I'm like, who, me? I'm like, yeah, you. But I was running for my life. And I've had to learn to stop running. It's okay now. Y'all telling me it's okay now. But it's hard. And it's a whole bunch of other of us out there still looking. Because we came up in a time when none of this was possible at all. Parents straight up. You weird, you know, get the F out. All that. All this stuff that we are trying to help parents and all. Man, get out of here. You going to deal with it. That's what you're going to do. That's what we come from. So when we speak and we sound rough and it sounds all like this new language, it's not toxic. It's what we know. We've been isolated. It's like bringing somebody out the woods into a civilization we don't know nothing about. We had our head down and I'm working and I got my place and I'm minding my business. I don't want no trouble. That's how we operate. So when I started transitioning at 38 years old, I'm coming out of that mode into this big community. It's like, what? And they're like, you so rough. I'm like, what the fuck you talking about? I'm coming foot first. I'm not coming the other way. I didn't have gender conversations. What? Gender who? I feel like a boy. That's the best I can tell you. My language has been cultivated over the past 12 years to this. Academically, I got that. I did that already because I had to. But coming into community, this is different. It's very different. And I have kids. I got to protect them. Because I didn't live down Charles Village. I live East Baltimore, down there on Streeper and them. Orleans up that way. McEldrick, Curly and them. And the boy, we up at night on the computer as a family. And you hear pop, pop, pop. We hit the flow. You got quiet. Ah! Oh my God! Open the door, motherfucker, on my steps. You want me to be in a parade? I don't think so. So it ain't about I don't want to be visible. I live in it. This is pre-hormones. You better hold your head up and mind your business. Keep it moving, dyke. Because they seen you transitioning. They know what you is. Behind your back, they talking. Matter of fact, they start harassing your kids in the playground. And they don't want to tell you. That's what I live. So, when we talk about why you don't want to put your name on something, why you don't want to be in no pictures, why you don't want to be in the commercials, I got something at stake. I'm not living in one day we will thrive and have families. I already got one. Not to be arrogant. And it's at stake because it's the only thing I got because my peoples don't want me. They wrote me out my brother's obituary. My father called me and said, listen, I heard, and I don't even fuck with that. So I'm going to have to cut you off. Beep, beep. Ain't no policy for that. I'm talking 2004, which ain't long ago. Really, in the scheme of things. So I just hit 50. These people are still living on this earth. In my world, I don't live in an out and about world. The people that I associate with are older and they still have these mindsets and I still have something to protect. I'm part of a family whereas my mother-in-law just attacked me 2 years ago in my house, transphobia, in my face for 20 years. And I'm still advocating. And it ain't on the internet. This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about going to my doctor's appointments and all of a sudden people just misgendering me out of nowhere. What? I've been at Hopkins. What happened? Then I get an email. Oh, we changed software, so your information might have gotten. Yeah, I thought so. I already knew it. So all of this, we talking up top. I'm walking it, experiencing it, and advocating for it all in one. And I'm just trying to live. I'm just trying to live. So everybody else is free to walk out on trans pride. I don't feel the freedom. I'm still under the goddamn gun. I'm still on food stamps. I'm still getting disability. I'm disabled. I don't flaunt it or talk about it, but I'm disabled. Not because of my eyes. Now I'm talking about mental health. It's been real for me. I'm not going to lay these diagnoses and labels on the table that I walk about, but best believe I'm taking this medicine. It's real for me at 22. Non-binary wasn't a word. Trans wasn't a word. But I surely was at Hopkins getting this therapy. I'm living it and walking it at the same time. We're talking about real time. I'm talking triple time. No wonder I got a little dementia. That's a lot to carry. So we're talking about trauma-informed care. They don't even know about my trauma because they don't want to listen to me. Tell me what to look for. You don't even know my story. So how you going to look for it? You don't know what you're listening for. Pronouns don't help me in the room. You see he, him, all they see is a nigga. And they know me in the room, but let me step outside and put my hood on. They might bang me in my head. And then when I'm dead, I don't know what they're going to call me. Depends on who finds me. That's the life I'm really living every day. Yes, I'm stressed out. Yep. So, and I'm still building community. So I walk with a lot of frustration. But I'm proud to be able to call somebody in New York and be like, hey, I'm going through it, man. Young blood out of Texas just hit me today. I need you, bro. Downstairs, reproductive, haven't had the insurance to get things straightened out. He might got cancer. That's what we dealing with. Cancer, we're dying. Nobody talking about it. People talking about a whole woman. I'm talking reproductive, okay? Let's just, people got stuff that need to be taken care of and don't want to go to die. I broke down because I was trying to get a new provider, and I said, if this person reads this and they're going to bring their superior in, I don't feel like dealing with all that. And then I started crying. Like, I can't even go to the doctors, yo, because just stuff in my head. Like, I got to stick with this. That's what it's like. That's what it's like. And I want people to know what it's like. It's not what we see on TV. It's not. We're talking about it's revolutionary. It's revolutionary. We living in this system that has no idea. We living in it. And it's miraculous. I'm proud of that. Now that's pride for you. You can walk on that. That's pride. That's what I'm proud of.
In various points of you talking, you were talking about you're talking about visibility and invisibility, as well as learning and unlearning, both being tools for liberation. And I just wanted you to speak more to those double-edged swords.
Come again. Work it out for me. Give me some
more. Sure. So, thinking about the benefits of visibility, the drawbacks of visibility, the benefits of invisibility, the drawbacks of invisibility, as well as the healing potential for learning, but also the violence of learning, and the healing potential of unlearning, and the uncomfortable way that unlearning actually feels. So these things that are supposedly binaries are holding binaries in themselves that are countering each other, that are opposite each other.
Absolutely. That is the epitome of who we are. That is the epitome of what this whole experience is. How does one remain balanced in the between the yin and the yang? That line, that little thing that looks like it's dividing it. How do you stay balanced? And I didn't say on that line or around. I'm talking you in it. You in
the S curve.
In the, come on, you in the S curve. How? Man, oh man, talk about a tightrope. What's that song? What's her name? She sing that song, Tightrope. There, you got it, Janelle Monae. I have to begin to, when we talk about learn and unlearn, then I recognize what I'm in. So I imagine myself as the dot on the bottom of a pin drop. And I've been dropped, bloop, right into something. I got eyes. I got feet. And but I feel trapped now. Because now I'm aware. So I learned. I was disoriented, I become oriented, and then disoriented. And understanding that alone. It has helped me understand that nothing is really permanent. Ebb and flow. Surfboard, right? So you learn. And so then I've learned to now connect to my body. That's the other part of this thing. See, that's this transcendental experience. In order to fully get into it, for me, I've had to really use that symbol, the yin yang symbol, and understand it in terms of the pin, and then realize that I'm in this body. And that is simply a vehicle and a vessel. That's all. The things that come into my head, the visions, the wonderments, all that, I'm here to do it. Not by myself, but other kindred. So I've learned how to attune my energy and pull us in. Liberation. It's a state of mind. Some of us have to use Buddhism. We have to use the religious tools to try to get there. Then we come in and out of them. We do all these things. I think somebody has a song, I Am Your Mind. Check it out. I think it's Roy Ayers. That's a little bit about that.
I'm going to take a quick